Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to The Haunted Collection with your host, writer, paranormal investigator, and haunted collector, Kevin Kane, back to share some more spine-tingling ghost stories. Welcome back, and thank you so much for tuning in once again for some more stories. I have a couple of good ones lined up, some good ghost stories. Before we get to business, I just want to, as always, invite you to visit my website, myhauntedolls.com, and there you can shop in my store to buy any of the books I've published, ghost stories and supernatural novels. Books about my haunted collection of haunted dolls and items. And there's also a link to my Redbubble store where you can buy merchandise like t-shirts and hats and home and office accessories, pet gifts, and all kinds of things out there. So be sure to check that out and show your support. And while you're at it, there's a link page there. You can find my YouTube channel, My Haunted Dolls, on YouTube, where I post a lot of videos of my sessions with the haunted items in my collection. You just might find that creepily interesting, so please be sure to check that out and subscribe. And as always, I thank you for your support and appreciate your purchases and your listening to the show. And with that said, let's get on with our episode here. The first story, or actually it's a little collection of stories under one subject matter that has always fascinated me. And these stories still exist today. In fact, there still are instances where people receive creepy phone calls that they cannot explain. But in these days of smartphones and cell phones, wireless paraphernalia, even the internet, creepy goings-on still exist, but they didn't just start with technology. They existed even back when we had the old landline phones. And these chilling stories I'm about to share are examples of ghostly phone calls. Imagine this. The phone rings. You pick it up and you hear a familiar voice. It's the voice of someone you know, someone who is dead. That's a pretty scary thought, but it has happened. At least there are a lot of people who say it has happened to them. There have been so many reports of this type that a couple of investigators named Scott Rogo and Raymond Bayless looked into some of these stories years ago. Rogo and Bayless talked to a woman they called Patricia Adams, though that's not her real name. Patricia Adams is a well-known actress who did not want her real name used. Most people who report experiences of this type don't want publicity, or at least back in the day they did not. Patricia Adams told the researchers a story she remembered from when she was a little girl. Her mother had a close friend, who we will call Mrs. Jones, who also had a daughter named Barbara. But this girl was much older than Patricia. She had gone away to college, though she would always come back home for the holidays. In her third year at college, Barbara was killed in an automobile accident while driving home for the holidays. A terrible tragedy. A few years after the accident, Patricia Adams and her mother were visiting the Jones family for Thanksgiving. After dinner, the children went into one room and the grown-ups into another. Then the telephone rang. Patricia was nearest to the phone, so she picked it up. It was the long-distance operator, She said she had a collect call from Mrs. Jones, and it was from her daughter, Barbara. This threw Patricia a little bit, even as a child, and she said, "Well, just a minute." She went and got her mother's friend, who came to the phone, and Patricia stood watching her because she had heard the name and thought that maybe somebody was playing a joke or something like that. She listened on the phone, turned absolutely white, and fainted. Later, Patricia found out why Mrs. Jones' reaction was so extreme as fainting. The voice that came over the phone sounded exactly like that of her dead daughter. The words she used were familiar as well. "Mommy, it's me. I need $20 to get home." It was a phrase the dead girl often used before she came home. It had almost become a family joke. Her mother always sent the $20. In this case, the phone company had no record of this call. Rogo and Bayless talked to a young musician named Carl, who also had a strange experience to tell them. While he was growing up, he lived with his grandmother, who was almost completely deaf. When Carl went out and his grandmother was to be alone, he would leave her with a telephone number where he could be reached. If she wanted him, she would dial the number and say, "This is Carl's grandmother. Would you tell him that I need him home?" The grandmother was so deaf that she couldn't hear if anybody answered the phone or not. She would just repeat the phrase 5 or 6 times and hang up. Carl's grandmother died when he was about 16 years old. 2 years later, he was at home, at the home of his friend Peter. Peter and his family did not know anything about the old woman's strange way of making calls. Carl and Peter were in the basement practicing some music when the phone rang upstairs and Peter's mother answered. Then she shouted to the basement, "Carl, there's an old woman on the phone. She says she's your grandmother, and she says she needs you. She just keeps saying it over and over again." Carl rushed up the stairs and grabbed the phone, but the line was dead. There are lots of accounts where the figure of a person who had just died appears suddenly to a relative or a close friend who may be some distance away. Sometimes it seems the newly dead person just makes a phone call. Don Owens of Toledo, Ohio, wrote of his experience in Fate magazine, a popular publication on psychic topics. Owens had a close friend named Lee Epps. Though Epps had long held a good job, he lived alone and was basically a shy and lonely man. He was very attached to Owens and his wife Ethel, whom he lovingly called Sis. On the evening of October 28, 1968, the phone rang at the Owens house. Don Owens was out, but his wife picked up the phone. She recognized Epp's voice immediately. He sounded urgent, and the message was upsetting. "Sis, tell Don I'm feeling real bad. Never felt this way before. Tell him to get in touch with me the minute he comes in. It's really important, sis." When Don Owens came home, he tried to call his friend, but there was no answer. Later that night, he learned that Lee Epps had been in the hospital just a few blocks from where the Owens family lived. He had been in a deep coma. He died at 10:30 p.m., the very time the phone call had come in. Doctors agree that there was no way that Epps could have regained consciousness and made the phone call before he died. Famous movie director Alfred Hitchcock was a master of mystery and terror in films and on television, but he loved real-life mysteries as well. In 1955, he wrote an article called My Five Greatest Mysteries, and one of them concerned a very strange phone call. The event took place in January of 1934. 20-year-old Arnie Gandy's parents knew he was in San Francisco. They were expecting a call from him, so when the phone in their New York apartment rang at 3 a.m., they were not too surprised. It would be only midnight in California. The voice Arnie's mother heard was not one she recognized. The voice said, "The kid is here, and for God's sake, forgive him and give him another chance. What I said about him in my letter is all true. He's a fine kid." Arnie's mother asked who was speaking, but the caller did not give a name. She insisted it must be the wrong number, but the caller repeated the number, and it was correct. And their number was unlisted. She asked to talk to her boy, but the caller replied, "Your son is in a hospital in San Francisco. He's in bad shape, but never mind. He's on his way home now." There was the sound of other voices in the room and some laughter. Then another voice, which sounded like Arnie, said, "I'm helpless. Here I lie, propped up on pillows, and I can't move." There was a groan, and the line went dead. Arnie's frantic mother contacted the operator, who assured her that the call had indeed come from San Francisco. Arnie's father contacted the police, who were unable to trace the call. The next morning, Arnie Gandy's boy was found in San Francisco Bay. He had been dead for at least 2 days, well before the mysterious phone call had been placed. The letter the mysterious caller said he had written never arrived. There was a genuine mystery concerning the boy's death. He had signed on to a ship in New York as mess boy for a world cruise. When the ship docked in San Francisco, Arnie went ashore and never returned. He did not take his clothes or any personal effects from the ship. That same day, he wrote a cheerful letter to his parents with no indication anything was wrong. He was never seen again until his body was fished out of the water 6 days later. Despite a careful investigation, there were no clues as to why Arnie Gandy left the ship where he had spent his last days. Whether his death was accident or suicide or murder, or who had made that mysterious phone call. Hitchcock commented that this was one of the most puzzling real-life mysteries he had ever heard, and doubted anyone would ever believe it. Psychiatrist and psychical researcher Dr. Barthold Schwartz reported a somewhat different sort of ghostly phone event. He had interviewed a New Jersey woman called Mary. One night, Mary had a frightening dream about her old friend, Lana. She saw Lana sinking into a pool of blood. The next day, she phoned Lana, though they had not been in contact for quite a long time. Lana sounded fine, but admitted that she had been ill and in the hospital. She said that she would be going back to the hospital the next day. Mary said that she would like to visit her friend in the hospital, or at least call her. But Lana discouraged both suggestions, saying that she would call Mary as soon as she was better. It seemed like a normal conversation. Days passed and Lana did not call, so Mary naturally got worried. She called her home several times, but no one answered. She finally got in touch with Lana's husband, who told her sadly that Lana was dead, that she had died 6 months ago, long before the phone conversation between Mary and Lana could possibly have taken place. Was this a case of a phone call to a ghost? The most famous phone call making ghost in America is named Rebecca. She haunts a large mountain inn called The Lodge in New Mexico. No one is really afraid of Rebecca. In fact, she's something of a tourist attraction. She's regularly written up in the local newspapers, and her story has been featured on television. The restaurant in the lodge is called Rebecca in honor of her, and portraits of her, even a stained glass window, decorate the lodge. The portraits are entirely imaginary. No one knows what Rebecca looked like or who she was. According to the most popular story, she was a waitress at the lodge during the 1930s. She was supposed to have been shot by her lumberjack lover when he found her with another man. No one is even sure where the name Rebecca came from, but it has stuck over the years. The ghost of Rebecca does all the traditional ghostly things. There are mysterious footsteps in the hall. Doors open and close as if by an unseen hand. Some employees have even claimed to have seen the apparition of an attractive red-haired woman in a long gown wandering the halls. But Rebecca's most notable trait is that she likes to make phone calls. That's right. Usually she makes her calls from Suite 101, the governor's suite, and what happens to be the best room in the house. She doesn't seem to be calling anyone in particular. She just wants to let people know that she's still around. Years ago, the lodge had an old-fashioned plug-in type of switchboard. An operator would sit at the board, and when someone wanted to place a call from one of the rooms, a light would go on at the switchboard, and the operator would put a plug in a hole under the light to connect the call. Well, the light for room 101 kept going on, even if the room was not occupied. The switchboard was checked many times, but nothing was mechanically wrong with it. It was as if some invisible figure in the room kept trying to make a call. Finally, the operators would leave room 101 plugged in all the time so they would not be bothered. The plug-in switchboard has long been replaced by a new electronic switchboard that is all automatic, even updated to today's standards. But that has not really changed to Rebecca's behavior. The switchboard, even now the phones, still keep registering calls from room 101. Even when no one is in the room. At least no one alive, that is. Often guests in room 101 will find their phone ringing. When they pick it up, no one is on the line. And when they ask the hotel operator or the manager why some joker keeps ringing their room and hanging up, they are told it's only Rebecca. Guests are not really scared. Actually, it's more of an honor to receive a call from Rebecca. So maybe one day you might just visit the lodge and spend the night. And just maybe you might receive that ghostly phone call. from their spirit resident, Rebecca. Who knows, maybe someday she might even speak. I hope you've enjoyed these collections of tales of ghostly phone calls over the years. It really piqued my interest when I heard these when I was a kid and used to love reading ghost stories, and I'm glad those stories still circulate even today because they're really worth sharing and scaring. Well, that's going to be it for this episode, and I thank you again for tuning in. Again, I invite you to visit myhauntedolls.com. Shop in the store and purchase an autographed book today. Be sure to follow the link to the Redbubble store and purchase your merchandise. Visit my YouTube channel and subscribe and keep on watching and keep on coming back here to listen. So until we meet again for the next episode, I say have a good evening. Enjoy your time. But when the phone rings, you never know. It just might be a ghost calling you. Happy hauntings.